Good morning. Filling in for Steve this morning because, as most of you probably know, he's over in Europe. I think he's somewhere in Paris right now. They're over there for their 40th anniversary. You know, growing up as their youngest son, I feel like I was given an advantage in life for two reasons. The first was that I knew all the dirt on the pastor. And the second was that I got to watch the way that they treated each other in marriage. As a husband myself, I will be forever grateful to them for that. And they really just were wonderful to each other. And so I'm happy that they're over on another continent where nobody can bother them and they can spend some time together. If you've got your Bible, please turn to Ephesians 6:10. For the past few months, Steve has been going through Ephesians 5 and into chapter 6, talking about being filled with the Spirit. And last week, if you remember, he talked about being godly employees and being godly bosses. And so today, I want to continue where he left off, and we're going to talk about being strengthened by God. Verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power." Now, the first time I read this verse, it didn't really strike me as that important or meaningful of a verse. But I think there's a lot more here than what meets the eye. And it's actually quite an impactful verse. I think there's some important things that we need to understand about it. But first, before we go into it, I want to reword this verse because the verb here for be strong really should be translated be continuously strengthened. So it should go something like this: "Finally, my brethren, be continuously strengthened." And then the word here for in can also be by, and I think that's what it should be. So by the Lord and by his mighty power. Now, I've come up with about five things that I think we need to understand about this verse. And the first one is that we need to understand that we are and we have been strengthened by God. The word here for be strong is the verb form of the word dunamis, which means ability or power. Paul is not telling us to be strong with our own strength. He is telling us to tap into the strength that God has given us. And we need to understand that we already have this strength in us. In 2 Timothy 1:7, Paul says, "For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, dunamis, and of love and of a sound mind." I was recently reminiscing a time in high school when it was on a Friday and it was lunchtime, and so my friends and I went to McDonald's, and you have to understand that when I was in high school, I was blessed with an unbelievable metabolism. I could eat a lot of food. I would eat all kinds of food, and my body just burned right through, and I wouldn't gain an ounce. And I'm not going to lie, being able to eat like that was great. But the downside to having a really fast metabolism, especially during those years, was that I couldn't remember a time where I was not hungry. No matter how much I ate, I always wanted to eat more. And then within an hour or two of eating, I was always looking for something to eat again. So I was here, sitting there at McDonald's, and I couldn't buy anything because I'd run out of money. My parents gave me money for lunch about every 2 weeks, and this happened to be the end of that second week. And so I had already spent it all, and I kind of lacked the self-control to spread that money out. And so as a result, the last few days of the week, I'd have to settle for going home after school and eating lunch then. So I'm sitting at this table, and my friends are eating, and I'm starving, and I'm feeling tortured, and I'm watching them take their French fries and dip it in the ketchup and eat it, and you know, I'm not sure what it is about French fries, but when you're really hungry, it's just torture to look at them. And so I was getting to that place where I was starting to feel shaky, and I was weak, and So I tried borrowing some money from some friends, and I scraped together about 30 cents. I still needed at least 50 more cents to get some French fries, and after enough suffering, I got desperate. So I pulled out my wallet, and I started to go through it, and I was hoping maybe I stuck like a dollar in one of the wrong compartments. And as I pulled back my driver's license, it was like time started to slow down. I started to see a green bill behind it. I could see a one, and I'll tell you, it was a beautiful sight. I pulled it out, and I unfolded it, and it quickly became obvious to me that this wasn't a $1 bill, but a $100 bill. I threw the change back at the kids that loaned it to me and ran up to the counter and ordered the largest bucket of French fries I could get. Did you know that you can literally buy a bucket of French fries from McDonald's? It's like a popcorn size, you know, from the movies. Honestly, I was a little disgusted that you could buy this big of a French fries, but I was hungry, so I bought it anyway. I went back to my seat, and I scarfed it down. You know, I had been suffering during the previous day's lunches because I lacked the self-control to spend my money wisely over the 2 weeks. Even though the whole time I had more than enough money to eat, and I could have eaten well, and it was sitting right there in my wallet. And God's strength is like that $100 bill. We have possession of it, but sometimes we don't necessarily realize it. And when faced with temptation or the need to be courageous for God, we just try to push through it with our own strength. And when we use our own strength, we fail. Now, the second thing I want to talk about that I think we really need to understand is what it is that we're really up against. We know we have the strength, but why do we need it? Let's look at verse 10 and 11. Finally, my brethren, be continuously strengthened by the Lord and by his mighty power. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You know, right now in culture, it's pretty unpopular to believe in the devil. It's okay to treat him as this fictional character, but to actually believe that he has an influence on us, it's not very accepted. And I believe that this is one of Satan's strategies. If Satan becomes only a myth, then there's no need to be strong or stand against him. And that just gives him the power. Let's look at 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You know, the reality is that Satan is real. And he has followers. And he is out to get every one of us. And he will take every opportunity that he can. We cannot be lazy in the Lord, or we'll become vulnerable to Satan. Now, the third thing I think we need to understand is that we need to be continuously strengthened by God. The Greek word for be strong is a present imperative verb. Now, in Greek, that means to be continuously strengthened. In 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18, Paul says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." I believe that Paul wants us to be continuous, because if we aren't, we might be risking letting our guard down, and we might stumble if we don't. I'm reminded of the story of King David and Bathsheba. If you don't remember, David was the king of Israel. Now, this is the same king that had the strength to stand up to Goliath. And David made one little mistake, and that little mistake led to a whole disaster of mistakes. In 2 Samuel 11, David sends his men off to war, but rather than going with them like he should have, he decided to stay home. This led to him seeing a beautiful woman bathing, which then led to him giving in to lust. And then, with bad judgment, he invites her over. And he knew full well that she was married to one of the men that was out fighting for him. And then he ends up sleeping with her. A little while later, she finds out she's pregnant. So he sends for her husband to bring him home so that he'll sleep with her so they won't know that it's his. But her husband, he happens to be the most honorable guy in town. And he won't even sleep in the house with her because all of his comrades are still out fighting and they didn't get to come back. So David sends him back to battle with sealed orders to his commander to put him in the front line, have the front line go out, then back off, and let the whole front line get killed to make sure that he gets killed. And it kills probably a dozen people. David let his guard down by staying home, and Satan exploited it. And before he knew it, he was conspiring in premeditation to murder dozens of men. If David would have just gone to battle with his men, he could have avoided this whole fiasco. It's easy to fall out of good habits. And when we do, we end up flirting with temptation. And before we know it, we're knee-deep into some kind of sin. We need to be continuously strengthened by God. Now, the fourth thing that I think we need to understand is that the strength that God gives us is from God's power. In verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be continuously strengthened by the Lord and by his mighty power." God is letting us tap into his strength that is fueled by his power. Brian Welsh, a musician that started a heavy metal band with his friends, became an instant success. You might have heard of his band. It's called Korn. Now, after becoming a success, Brian married his girlfriend and had a daughter, and he was living the rock and roll dream. After a while, Brian and his wife started getting into drugs, and eventually he became addicted to Vicodin, cocaine, crystal meth, and speed. Now, I know what it's like to be addicted to cafe lattes, but I can't even imagine. His wife got so addicted to meth and became so troubled that Brian had to take his wife away from her. And then later, Brian's drug addiction grew worse to the point that he described himself as feeling like he was dead inside. Brian tried again and again to sober up, but he just couldn't do it. A business partner of his that was in real estate and built monster trucks invited Brian to attend church with him. And so Brian went because, I mean, this guy was pretty cool. He built monster trucks. And there Brian learned about Jesus Christ. A few weeks later, Brian invited Christ into his life. He took all the drugs he had and he flushed them down the toilet. And without even going into rehab, 10 years later, Brian is still not using those drugs, and he's still living his life for Christ. In a recent interview with Brian, he said, "Christ came into my life, and I felt the power to face the biggest fight in my life." Brian walked away from some of the most addicting drugs and allowed God to pull him out of a destructive environment. And I believe he walked away using the same strength that Paul tells us that we should have. This is a powerful source of strength that we have access to. Paul combines two Greek words to describe this power, kratos and ischus. We only see this combination one other time in the Bible, in Ephesians 1:19. "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power?" And here's the kratos and ischus. Then he continues, "which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand of the heavenly places." Think about this for a minute. The strength that we are told to be continuously strengthened by is the strength that fueled that was filled by the same power that God raised Christ from the dead. The power that Brian Welch tapped into to break away from his demons is the same power that we can and should tap into continuously. Now, the fifth and final thing that I think we need to understand is how to be strengthened by the Lord. Let's look again at verses 10 and 11. Finally, my brethren, be strengthened by the Lord and by the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, here again is another verb that I feel like just doesn't really translate well. Put on. In the English, when you put something on, it usually kind of means you can take it off. And it also insinuates that we don't have it on yet. Well, this verb is different. I think it should probably read something like, you have already permanently put on the armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, with it translated like this, it's kind of a relief to me because I don't know about you, but I don't know how to put on armor of God. We don't have to because we already did. We did it when we put our faith in Jesus Christ. We permanently put on the armor of God at that time. We need to use the armor. And when we do, God will give us strength. You know, when I was there at McDonald's and I was hungry and my hands were shaking and I was starting to feel weak, if I didn't have that $100 bill in my wallet, I would have had to go back to school. I would have probably started shaking more, and I would have felt weaker. I could have tried eating some paper, maybe a pencil, maybe some grass from the football field. It might have taken away the hunger pains, but it wouldn't have given me energy because only food can give me more strength when I'm weak from being hungry. And just as only food gives us energy, we can only be strengthened by God when we are using his armor. Now, Steve will be covering the armor of God in some depth when he returns from Europe, but I wanted to just skim over a few of them real quick. We need to use the helmet of salvation by putting our hope into our salvation. And we have to stop doubting our salvation because it's real. And we will be with Christ after this life. We need to use the breastplate of righteousness to keep Satan from getting to our hearts and to stop him from keeping us from loving. And not the tolerance definition of love that culture's created, but our sacrificial love for God and for one another. And we need to use the shield of faith, which means stop doubting. I've heard Christians say it's okay to doubt, and that we should even explore our doubts in order to be open-minded. I'm sorry, but that is not biblical. When we doubt, we're putting a huge crack into our shield, a crack that we're letting Satan slip right through. And then we need to use the sword of the Spirit, which is Scripture. In Matthew 4, 8 through 10, Satan takes Jesus up to the top of this mountain and he tempts him by offering him to rule all over all the land. And he says, all you have to do is bow down and worship me. But Christ responds to him and says, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. With Scripture, Jesus started swinging his sword. And you know what happened to Satan? He ran. The power of God's words scared him away. I want to ask you today, what is it in your life that you should be tapping into God's power rather than trying to push through with your own strength? Is there something going on in your life that you can't seem to knock off? Maybe you're like Brian was and you're struggling with an addiction and it's consuming you and it's making you feel dead inside. Or maybe you're like King David and you're in a pretty good place, but you're relaxing a bit. And you're creating opportunity for Satan to sneak past your armor. Whatever you might be going through, we need to remember that we all have God's strength to get through it. We need to continuously be strengthened by God and remember that we're up against Satan. But we have access to the power of the one who created the universe. We can do all things in Christ who strengthens us. Let's pray.